Hi, this is Matt Grant. You're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be back.
You know, it's that time of year again, and I wanted to take some time to chat about the 2009 security landscape and what we might expect to see as new threats for 2010. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the major threats that we saw in 2009?
Sure. Obviously, Conficker was the top headline, and it's still a very, very large botnet. But Conficker was kind of the exception in recent years. We haven't really been seeing that many widespread worms. Right. A lot of work went into Conficker by the bad guys who created it to make it extremely virulent. But by and large, because of security improvements in the operating systems, primarily some in applications, we don't see that many worms anymore. But Conficker was really, really the big one. We saw a lot, an uptake in the Zeus Trojan, a banking Trojan. But I looked at our stats, and even in Brazil, where banking Trojans are king, you know, the banking Trojans were coming in like number 20. What we really were seeing a lot of, and we'll probably continue to see a lot of, are Trojans trying to steal credentials from online gamers. That has consistently been one of the biggest attacks that we've seen. And right next to it has been Windows Auto Run. Now, Microsoft, with Windows 7, has changed the behavior of Auto Run, and they've put out a patch that Windows Vista and Windows XP users can apply to their machines, but it's not included as a critical patch. It's not automatically done by Windows Update, so you have to actually go to Microsoft.com and find the patch and apply it, which I've blogged about in the past. I don't think we're going to see a really significant shift in 2010, although a couple of things we did see was an increase in people trying to exploit the Mac operating system and people trying to exploit iPhones, which primarily were the jailbroken iPhones. However, recently there was a report of someone that was able to, a researcher who was able to run arbitrary code on a stock iPhone. So going into 2010, I can give you, you know, five things I think that we're going to be seeing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Social engineering attacks, I think, are going to continue to grow in prevalence.
Right.
I saw a report that said phishing was down a bit because it was easier to get people to run Trojans and install Trojans. I think that's going to change in 2010. I think the operating systems are getting, the ones that are getting patched are becoming much more secure. And it's going to be easier to steal money from people by tricking them using old-fashioned, you know, social engineering than by getting them to install malicious software. We're going to see Windows 7 grow in popularity because some people are stuck with Vista and just hate it, and Windows 7's an improvement. New computers will be sold with Windows 7. There's an exception to that, though. Netbooks are still being sold with XP, and people with XP need to be especially cautious. So I think the increased security in Windows 7 is going to mean that tricking the users is far more viable than exploiting the operating system for most of the criminals. The other thing that we've been seeing and will continue to see is third-party applications bearing the brunt of vulnerability attacks. Because there are fewer and fewer exploitable vulnerabilities being found in operating systems, and that's Microsoft, Mac, Linux, it's going to continue to drive vulnerability research, both by good guys and bad guys, into applications, third-party applications like Safari and iTunes and Adobe Flash and Adobe Reader, your instant messaging clients, things like that. And unfortunately, users are far less savvy about patching these third-party applications than they are about patching the operating system. So again, I recommend that the users go out to Secunia, SECUNIA.com, and run their free vulnerability scanner and find out what third-party applications they need to get patched. The iPhone is going to continue to be a target,
right,
and we're going to see most of the attacks are going to be against the jailbroken iPhones. People install an SSH client, and it has a default password, and they forget to change it, and it just leaves the jailbroken iPhone wide open to attack. They're gaining sales, so you've got a lot more money to be made by exploiting them. Although initially we just saw the old school, I'm doing this for fun attacks, but we're going to see people trying to steal data for money.
And do you think that'll go beyond the iPhone to other smartphone devices as well? Or do you think the primary attack is going to be on the iPhone?
You know, that's kind of a hard one to say. The iPhone, you know, is a sexy gadget, so it gets a lot of attention. Right. If they find out that it's not too difficult to exploit Android and Android-based phones get the kind of user acceptance or even half the user acceptance that the iPhone has gotten, then we're going to start seeing a lot more attacks against those. So far, Windows mobile phones have received relatively little attention from the bad guys, and I don't expect a significant change in that in 2010. But, you know, as more and more applications that handle sensitive data and especially financial information get used on these mobile devices, they're going to become much, much more attractive targets. And, of course, the ones with the largest market share are going to be the ones that the bad guys go after first.
Do you think these are going to be email-based attacks to the phones, or are they going to be primarily SMS-based or SMS phishing attempts?
I think primarily SMS. We might, you know, we've seen in the past with Symbian systems Bluetooth-based attacks,
right.
But the current attack of fancy for the bad guy seems to be SMS-based. Now, one of the things about the jailbroken iPhones and some of the other mobile devices, depending on the country that you're in, is that people notice and fix things because they're charged for data. And so when they start running up charges because they're leaking data and it costs them money, they've got a lot more incentive. Here in the States, where a lot of people just have a flat rate data plan, they're a lot less likely to notice that they've been attacked. So I think another trend that we're going to see really start to take off, it's not going to become big in 2010, but it's going to grow, is ISPs increasingly implementing technologies to identify users who are infected, and then they can take measures to block the user's access to the internet until the machines are cleaned up. At least in the US, they can't completely block the access because some people are strictly using voice over IP and they have to maintain the emergency calling availability. But we're going to see ISPs looking a lot closer at how they can block infected users from rambling all over the internet. You know, the final thing I expect to see is an increasing growth in data breaches and data losses. As people put more and more of their data out in the cloud, the cloud-based providers become increasingly lucrative targets. And, you know, cloud-based system security is really still fairly young. So this aggregation of data is going to make cloud service providers really attractive targets. And we've already, to some extent, seen this with web hosting providers, where a web hosting provider gets compromised and all of a sudden 10,000 web pages that they're hosting are serving up malicious software. And we've already seen the credit card processing companies being targeted over the past few years. So I think in terms of data in the cloud getting breached and credit card numbers getting skimmed off the line, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, Randy, thanks for spending some time today with us chatting about 2009 and what we should be on the lookout for in 2010. If you have any additional questions for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow the ESET research team on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams.